This is Bishop Dr. Gregory Scott broadcasting from Dover, Delaware. Pastor Patricia Benjamin is traveling today, but she has agreed, nevertheless, to bring you the word from her location, wherever she is. I don't know if she's on the road, in the sky, in a plane, or on the ground, but I know she's going to bring you the word today. Amen, amen, amen. To repeat, Pastor Benjamin will be bringing you the word right after this song ends. This is John G. Chi, Jesus is Real. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him here, creatures below. Praise him above, the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I tell you, good morning to you in Radio Land, Block Talk Radio Land, on your computer, through the archives, however, but let God be real in you. John P. Key, Jesus is real. I know the Lord is real to me, but I really like the other one better, I think, because it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. We should never be so that we cannot want prayer ever. You know, I thank God for Jesus, and I thank Jesus for his blood. I am speaking from my hotel room, and I am on my cell phone, so I apologize for any interference. I pray that the word is coming forth loud and clear. And I thank God for our host, Bishop Dr. Gregory M. Scott. Thank him for being aboard with us again and again. Or I used to sing a song, without God, I can do nothing. But I feel like sometime without Dr. Scott, I would be lost ministry-wise. And I know that Jesus is real. And I know that I'm never alone, because he promised never to leave me or to forsake me. And I take God at his word. Song said, I'll take Jesus for mine. You can have this whole wide world. Just give me Jesus. I'll take Jesus for mine. How about you today? Are you singing that same song, I'll take Jesus for mine? You can just have this whole wide world, but just give me Jesus. Because as I was sitting on my plane on yesterday, and we were flying up, I forgot how many altitudes we were, but as I look out the window and I looked at the glory of God, who can make this universe. No one can copy this universe. I don't care how much technology we have. No one can duplicate the world. No one can do anything with it. Because the scripture tells us in Psalms that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and the world and they that dwell therein. It all belongs to him because he had made us. And he watches over us. So we need to give God the glory and the honor. And you look out, many of you, I know you have flown, and you're looking over into the clouds, and it looks like you could just stick your hand out the window and just touch the clouds. They're just so beautiful. We can see them when we're down here on the earth. But when you get up in that airplane and you look out that window, you start, if you got anything in you, you start to reverence God. Thank God for being God. Thank him because the Bible declares in the book of Genesis, let me go back here to Genesis. I looked at Genesis earlier this morning and I said, no, not Genesis. So I turned to Chronicles and I said, no, not Chronicles. So I went down and got the book of Romans. And I said, okay, I can work with that this morning. I don't have my study Bible with me. I left my briefcase. And so I feel like I'm somewhat handicapped this morning. But however, as we are talking, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Somebody might say, well, you know what, you got some other sermons that you talk about in the beginning. You know what, as long as you preach this gospel, you're going to go back over and add that whatever into another sermon. So if you hear me talking about this, this is a brand new sermon. But the word doesn't change. You need to know that somebody doesn't have knowledge that in the beginning, God, because some people are taught differently. They're taught that there is no God. So if there is no God, then he didn't create this. But I'm here to let you know, regardless to what you've been taught and regardless to what you believe, in the beginning, yes, 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 in the beginning, created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form, and it was void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. Then God said, I have a sermon on that, and I call it my God Said Sermon. But I'm not going to dwell on that today. But I just want to let someone know, God said, let there be light. And there was. Don't you know it is a very, very, very good thing to have someone in your life that can just speak the word and it happens. Just speak the word and it happens. Jesus says, speak to the mountain. Tell it to be removed. And the mountain shall obey you. If you have this Jesus, this God, on the inside of you, there are struggles that we struggle with. But if we listen to the voice of God, he will work for us. Because it said, greater is he that is in me or in you than he that is in the world. So I just want you to know that God said in that third chapter of the first Genesis, third verse of chapter 1 in Genesis, then God said, let there be light. There is a God whose name is Jehovah God. He is the I am God. And he is speaking today on my behalf, on your behalf. He's telling your situation, let there be light. Oh, my God, all of the darkness that's coming up against you, and I don't know who I'm talking to, but all of the darkness that's coming up against you, I don't know what your darkness is. It could be sickness, could be financial, could be with your children, could be in your marriage, whatever the darkness is that's coming your way. The God that you serve and the God that you read about and the God that you know says, let there be light. And the darkness has to flee. I think about the song that says, one man sat alone beside the highway begging. He was blind. He was blind. The light he could not see. So he clutched to his rags and he shivered in the shadow. But Jesus came. Oh, my God. And that man, darkness, flee. When Jesus comes, all of Satan's powers are broken. Yes, they are. When Jesus comes, he'll wipe your gloom away. He'll take your life and fill it with glory. Woo! For all have changed when Jesus comes your way. Let there be light so that we cannot worry about the dark days. Maybe you're without transportation. That's a dark day for you. Maybe you're out of food. That's a dark day for you. Maybe you have a loved one who just passed away. That seems like it's a dark day for you. I experienced a dark day on the 18th of November, 2015. It was a dark day for me to hear that someone that I loved so dearly, which was my nephew slash son, and I went and got him when he was a baby. And his mother let us have him to raise. And he died on the 18th of November. And it seemed like the world had stopped. It seemed so dark that day that I had to go to the morgue and really see had that thing happened, as they said. And it did happen. He died. And for months, I felt like I was walking in darkness. But I thank God because I didn't want to face the reality that Jimmy was really gone. I dread the fact to pass by the cemetery on my way to my New York home, where he was buried in the cemetery there in New York, and I had to pass that to get to my house. And I just didn't want to drive past that cemetery and know that he was laying there, that his body was laying there, his spirit, his soul went back to be with the Lord. But God gave us a flesh to deal with. We didn't deal with him in spirit. And so we dealt with him in the flesh. So therefore, the flesh hurt. And I dreaded the ride. And when I got to the house, I even dread, period, just even pulling up in the driveway and his car was not there. And to walk in the house and know he was not there, who no longer lives there. That was a very, very, very dark day for me. But I had to go and face reality. And in so doing, I said, Lord, help me, give me strength. This is a bitter pill to swallow. But I tell you, God has turned my darkness. Hashi, God, I thank you. He's turned my darkness into light. And I want to let you know today that darkness will come. But we have a God, and only God can put the light on. And when God puts the light on your dark situation, ooh, that darkness has to flee. It becomes light. Oh, I thank God for the light. Walk in the light, the beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. Shine all around us by day and by night, because Jesus is the light of the world. Our flesh has a pity party, but our spirit man, while we're having a pity party, our spirit man keeps on praising God for his goodness and his mercy and his grace. My God, I tell you, I have preached the God said message, excuse me, the God said message several times, but I never paused at that third verse. But God wanted to speak to our hearts from that third verse. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. So you see, you don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. Darkness is deep and hope is so low. But when God speaks, ooh, situations change. It says here in the beginning that the world or the earth was without form. It was void. It was nothing. But then God said, woo-hoo! God said, let there be light. I'm getting happy. There's never a time that I am on a cast that I don't get happy. I began to feel God moving. Excuse me. I experienced the presence of God in this situation. I'm going to have to speak light to my throat because it's something, the mucus tried to choke me, and it just shows up at any old time you heard the interruption where the voice is trying to get calmed up. But we will give that darkness in the throat area to God and let him speak, let there be. God, if he only just, oh my God, if he only just say let there be, that means he's going to touch everything. But he specified what he wanted to be in the word, and it said, let there, ooh, I love this, let there be light. Let there be light. That's the first thing he commanded. He commanded, let, oh God, let there be light. And when you hear this broadcast, whenever you, if you're on today, God bless you and heaven smile upon you. That's what my mother says to me practically all day long. I've been taking care of her for 9 years now with dementia, acute dementia / Alzheimer's. And she'll say, when I gave her a cup of juice, she said, thank you. May God bless you and heaven smile upon you. And then the next minute, she can just chop my head off because that's the way that that Alzheimer does. But when she comes back to her, she say, God bless you. And when I was bathing her before I left and putting her clothes on her, helping her put her clothes on because she's still able to do that. And she said, thank you for your kindness. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you for everything that you do for me. And I said, you're welcome, Mama. And she said, God will care. Oh. God will take care of you. And I said, thank you, Mama. She said, be not dismayed. Whenever be time, God will take care of you. And I said, thank you, Mom. And then she'll say, I love you. I always have loved you. To God be the glory. Oh, bless his name. Then God said, let there be light. So God is saying to you on today, this, I believe this is the last day of the month of June. We are going over into July on tomorrow. This is the last day of June, and we thank God that 6 months of this year has gone by. And we yet are doing good. For whatever our situation may be, I heard God. It's important when you're a child of God to hear God's voice, and especially if you are chosen to do the will of God. And I am called and chosen. I'm called to hear him when he speaks to me. Whether he's speaking to me in an audible or I'm reading the word of God and he speaks, and he's speaking now, let there be light. That's his word. But I felt an urgency, and I'm not going to be long at it. Spoke with Dr. Scott this morning, and I told him I'm not going to be on long because I'm tired. I don't know if it's jet lag or whatever lagging, but I'm going to tell the doctors to flee and let there be light. Oh, bless his name. And I kept hearing the voice of the Lord say, call, call. Do not leave without making this particular call. And then it would go away, and then it would come back again. Call. Call. And God knows me because I'm very reluctant to just jump right out there because the enemy has a way of disguising himself and trying to make you think that it's God, and he's trying to set up a trap for you. So I don't move always, not quickly when God is speaking. I need to know without a shadow of a doubt that it is the Lord's voice that I'm hearing. Because he says, my sheep know my voice, and another they will not. So I heard God again to make the call. And I looked for the number. I thought I had written it in my book. It wasn't there. It wasn't in my phone as a contact. And I searched for the number. And so I said, well, I have the aunt's number. And I called this individual's aunt and told her that it was very important that I get this woman's number. She said, I've got it in my phone, but I can't pull it up while I'm on. I said, well, let me hang up and you shoot it back to my answer machine, please. I said, it's important. She said to me, the aunt said to me, you know, her friend is not doing too good. I said, yes, that is one of the reasons why I have to make this call. God is telling me to make this call. And she said, okay, let me get that number and get it back to you. So she did. And the enemy came with the number. Now let me explain what I'm saying to you. The enemy came with the number by she leaving the number on my answering machine, but the enemy was saying, you don't have to make the call. It can wait. Now, I heard God say it was urgent. The enemy comes to say, you can wait. It'll be all right. Go ahead and do what you was doing. You're going to be late for what you're trying to do. So, I didn't listen to the enemy. I obeyed God. And I called this woman and I said hello, and I called her full name, and she said, who is this? And I told her, she said, oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's what she said. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And I said, listen, sweetheart, how are you? And I said, look. And I called the lady's name that's sick. And I said, where is she? She says, I'm on my way to the hospital to visit her now. She's under hospice care. And I said, oh, boy. I said, well, I wanted to pray for her. So I said, when you get to the hospital, will you call me back and put the phone on speaker so that I can pray for her? I said, but I also need to pray for you. I said, because God told me to call you. I said, and I must pray for you first. And I prayed while she was driving, and she began to cry. And I backed up for a minute so she could get her composure because she's driving a car in traffic in New York. And I switched the prayer from her over to the young woman that's in hospice care. And I said to her, I said, God told me to call you. She said, will you call me back later on today? I said, yeah, I'll call you back. I said, because I can't call you at the hospital because I'm doing something else. So I will call you later. I said, the prayer has been prayed, so you don't have to worry about it. That. I said, she doesn't have to hear me pray because God got it. And she said when she walked into the hospital and she looked at the young lady and she said, my godmother called and prayed for you. And this young lady is so weak that she can't sit up or anything. Can't feed herself, nothing. That's just how weak she is from this cancer that has stricken her body. And my goddaughter said to me when I called that evening that when she told the girl that I prayed for her, she sat up in the bed on her own. No one accompanied her. And she said, and then she sat on the side of the bed. And when they brought her food in, she was able to feed herself. My God. Light was spoken in that darkness. My God in heaven. And later that evening, the enemy tried to take that too. Because it was getting late, and I said, oh, my God, I didn't call this girl back. Let me just call her because I don't want to just leave her out there by herself. And when I called her, she began to cry. And she said, God, Mom, you are a powerful woman of God. I didn't say anything. I let her vent. She said, God, Mommy, you, she said, I'm so glad that my mother chose you to be my godmother. I listen. She said, when I got to the hospital and I told her that you prayed for her, she sat up by herself and she fed herself. And she said, but let me just tell you this. You did not know this. Earlier this morning, I was so depressed that I was planning suicide. She said, I said, I'm so depressed, I'm going to go visit her at the hospital, and then I'm going to come back and kill myself. Already knew how I was going to do it, what I was going to use to do it with. And she said, but when you call and said, God told you to call me, she said, you did not know. I told God I'm going to kill myself. You got to send me somebody. God, you got to send me somebody. She said, and God sent you. She said, when you said God told me to call you, you didn't know that I had told God, send me somebody. And he sent me my godmother, a powerful woman of God. She said, oh, God. She said, you're so powerful until I'm afraid of you. And I laughed. She said, I don't mean it. She said, I don't mean that. I said, yes, the Jesus in me. Yes, she said, yes. She said, oh, my God. She said, I can make it. Oh, say God. That's what we are to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bring hope. Show love. Show kindness. And speak the word of God. And dismiss how your flesh would deal with something. That's why over in Paul's gospel in the book of Romans, as I was reading, therefore we were baptized into Jesus Christ, so therefore our flesh died. We are to follow the things of the Spirit of God because we have Christ on the inside. We're supposed to hear his voice speak to us and tell us somebody's in trouble. All I need for you to do is just make the call because I am the giver of light. Ah, God, I thank you for your word this morning. I'm the giver of light, not man. Oh, God gave two miracles. One, the weak woman. That's what I'm going to name her, the weak woman. Dr. Scott, the light and the weak woman. June 30th, 2016. Ah, it's me, oh Lord. Find that, Dr. Scott, John P. Key, standing in the need of prayer. Oh, God sent light to my goddaughter that she turned from suicide and gave God the praise. She said, I have called every family member. I've called everybody, my friends, and told them, you are a powerful. My godmother said, God told her to call me, and she didn't know that I went on my knees. I was so depressed and said, God, you got to send somebody to help me. Because if you don't, I'm going to shipwreck. That's not what she said, but that's what she meant. I am going to get up out of here by way of suicide. But God said, let there be light. I don't know. I haven't called yet, and I'm going to call after the broadcast. I asked God to at least keep the young woman until I get back to New York. But I also told her, but we also have to pray. I don't care about the prayer that we pray, but we must also pray in our prayer for thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's what Jesus taught the disciples to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, and thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And God's will was done when he spoke life into a dark situation. God raised one up on the sick bed to sit up and feed herself. And he raised another one from her sick bed who was thinking about committing suicide. There was two sicknesses there. One sickness was physical, the cancer. And the second sickness was the spirit of suicide. But the miracle came through a phone call. My grandmother used to say, it's a good thing when you can kill two birds with one stone. David slew the giant in his life with one stone. That's all it took. One stone. And the giant went down. So I will say that on the day that I made the call on Tuesday, the giant of suicide was put to rest. I thank God for Jesus. John said, Jesus is real. I know the Lord is real to me. Yes, I'm turning again. You hear me turning my Bible to Romans, the sixth chapter, and it reads, what shall we say then? Question. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. Don't continue in sin. So that you shouldn't want grace. You shouldn't want to walk circumspectly. You have been crucified with Christ. You have the light on the inside of you that you can speak the word out of your mouth and darkness will flee. I say like my God, oh my God, oh my God, my voice is heavier than mine. Bless God. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Oh, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism in death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Mark that glory in your book. That's the name of my ministry. It starts glory. Yellow all of why. Of the Father. Even the Father, no ends. Even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united, there's the other word in my ministry, glory united. Woo-hoo. Thank you, Jesus. Together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who hath died has been freed from sin. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ has been raised from the dead. Die no more. Ooh, death no longer has dominion over them. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, should obey it in its lust. Say, Lord, forgive me. Because we do error and allow the sin of lust to mess us up, then the light of the blood has to cleanse us. Again, John D.T. had another song, Dr. Scott. I don't know if we have that in the loop, but it says, wash me, Lord, so that I might be made whole. Wash me, Lord, wash me, wash me. When you say, God, forgive me, you're saying, Lord, wash me, clean me, create in me a cleanliness of the heart. My God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God, Christ, in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. When you're a member, I'm a member, and I'm closing the book. That was Romans, the sixth chapter. You can read it. It only has 23 little verses. I'm closing the book. Thank you, sweet Jesus. I worked for a man once when he was finished reading the Bible. He would kiss the Bible. I just kissed the Bible. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but the Christ that liveth in me. So if Christ lives in you, you have light. And guess what? We are supposed to bring light to darkness, dark situations. When I first met the doctor, he had a slogan that said, the light giver. I don't know if he realized that carried a heavy, heavy anointing, because we are the light, Jesus said, of the world. A light that's not in darkness. We are a city that said, let me open my book again. Let's go to Matthew's gospel. I got a few moments. Let's go to Matthew's gospel right quick. Come on. Let's get to the New Testament. Go to Matthew's gospel. Let's read Matthew's gospel here. Let's go there. And I believe it's Matthew chapter 5. Some of this stuff I can remember, and some of it I can't. Let's go here. It says here, Matthew, look, the fifth chapter of Matthew and verse 13 says, and I'm closing with this for sure, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? This is, you know, I'm reading from not the exact King James, so it's a little different reading. You got King James, read it. Okay? The King James, I don't have it with me. It says, if the salt has lost its savor and its flavor, where, they say here, flavor, where is it good or not? But anyhow, you read that 13th chapter of Matthew, chapter the 13th verse of Matthew. Its favor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be trodden and trampled under the foot of men. Verse 14, key here, underline, you are the light of the world. A city that sits on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light. Look, underline this. It gives light all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Did you hear that? Glorify your Father in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Until we meet again on our Thursday, our first Sunday, every Thursday. 10 a.m., first Sunday, 10 a.m., every fourth Wednesday at 7:30 p.m., and every fourth Sunday at 10 p.m. Put a note. My cousin put the alarm so that whenever the first, the fourth, and Thursday come, his phone would beep him and let him know it was time. Bless you. Amen.
Yes, it's me. Oh, Lord, standing in need of prayer. This is Dr. Scott thanking Pastor Patricia Bellman, who is traveling today. And I want to thank her for being able to dial in and give us the word. And she will be giving either that message or another message on Sunday, because she will still be on the road. So thank you, Pastor, for a stirring and inspiring message. And we pray that you will have a safe an uneventful trip, because we all are standing in the need of prayer.
Preparing them for the worst.